Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and it's time to bring on Christian Fowler, Bluff City Media senior writer and content creator at C Fowler BCM. He's also the co-host of the On the Bluff podcast for Bluff City Media with yours truly. Christian, what's the word, man? How's it going?
Just wonderful. How you doing?
I am doing well. A little birdie told me it's your birthday, so let's speak on that.
You'd be correct. I don't know where you heard that from, but that is true.
That is true.
Halfway to 50, man. I'm getting old.
Oh, God. You know, Bennett, that's always my pet peeve is when people of my age or younger say they're getting old. That is serious. That has always been my pet peeve. Come on, speak
it's fun,
to it.
Though, man.
Oh, you're halfway to 50. Whatever. Don't think about it that way.
I know I'm not old. I don't think about it that way for real. It's just fun to mess with people.
I got everybody's you. Got any plans tonight? What are we doing?
Just having
date
some
night?
Friends and family over.
Okay.
No, friends and family coming over, cooking steaks, hanging out. That's
Damn.
Pretty much the norm for my birthday. We kind of had this conversation on the pod a few months ago about birthdays.
Yeah, for sure.
They're not my biggest thing. I don't really care too much about them. I just kind of do it to appease everyone else.
Know what? You said friends and family are invited, and yet I don't have a text on my phone from Christian Fowler with the invite. So what's up with that? Am I neither friends or family?
You're better than.
Okay. Rock on. Good to hear. Talking with Christian Fowler at C Fowler BCM on Twitter. All right. Tigers lose 66-65. Let's get into it. I mean, it's brutal to talk about. We took some calls yesterday. A lot of people still talking about this season overall being a success. What are your overall season thoughts all the way to the end and even in that FAU game, which you were on hand for?
Yeah, so season thoughts overall, successful. And we talked about this last night. This is always going to be the season. And I feel like there are a few of these, but I guess just because of recency and, you know, we're only – a few days removed from it, less than a week removed from it, it feels like right now there will always be a but attached to the end of this season.
Yep.
Because the regular season was pretty tremendous for the most part. Obviously, really the only blemish would be the two losses to Tulane. Like, that's what most people would point to and say those were kind of disappointing. But when you look at it, 30,000-foot view, 26-9 overall, winning the AAC tournament championship, knocking off number one Houston in that championship game with the cast that was there, you know, outside of Kendrick and DeAndre. No one was really impressed by this team at the beginning of the year, but they end up, as I mentioned, winning the AAC tournament championship. So overall, extremely successful. And I think even if Purdue would have beat FDU, I don't think people would be as disappointed
Yep.
about the outcome of the FAU game. But the fact that Memphis could have beaten FAU and played a 16 seed and basically waltzed their way into the Sweet 16 against now we know is Tennessee in Madison Square Garden. It's just like all these things pile up to one big but right after you talk about the regular season.
Yeah. So being on hand for that FAU game and seeing the post-game presser, like how emotional was it for those guys? And, covering it, how was it for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been covering Memphis football and basketball for, this is year five. I've never seen as much disappointment in a team. Just like the players, the coaches, walking back to the post-game press conference, the Memphis locker room was right by where they were doing the press conference at, and they had FAU's staff and players first. And so Memphis's coaches were outside of the locker room. Memphis's players were inside of the locker room, and just seeing all the disappointment in the coaches, it just like it, you see the disappointment in the fans, but it's a different kind of reality when you see coaches that upset and disappointed, because so often they're even keeled and, you know, coach speak, that's a big word nowadays, yep. But you really don't get to see the true emotional side of coaches. So to walk back there and kind of see the majority of the staff, minus a couple of guys back there, you know, sitting on the ground, hands in their, or head in their hands, it's just, it's kind of a surreal scene, because I don't think that's what anyone was expecting. Like, fans, players, coaches, even the Memphis media throughout last week had a very quiet confidence about this game, and it didn't turn out that way. So it was kind of a sad moment to see that for this team, knowing how hard they worked and where they felt like they could have gotten to, and for it to end so abruptly in the first round, it was kind of a reality check.
What was the main thing that went wrong in that loss? I know, hey, listen, we have a laundry list of things. You can talk about officiating, you can talk about the Tigers putting themselves in tough situations, but what do you think the main issue was when it comes to ultimately losing that game?
I mean, just overarching, they didn't play well. I mean, we can point to, as you mentioned, all these little things, officiating, certain situations, missed shots, missed free throws. Obviously, there weren't many of those, so that wasn't a big issue. But when it's a one-point game, you can say, oh, they missed three or four free throws. You hit two more of those, you win the game. All those little things, yes, of course. But overall, they just didn't play well. They didn't, and we said this. We talked about this last week on the show. If they played 70, 80% of the way they did in Fort Worth, they were going to win this game, and they just didn't. They didn't play well. DeAndre had 2 points at halftime, picked up his fourth foul with, I think, like 13 or 14 minutes left in the second half. Kendrick didn't necessarily have a great game. I know he had 12 at half. He was leading all scorers at halftime, but just didn't look like himself, especially in the first half. It felt like Memphis was just forcing shots instead of getting down low. They were clearly the bigger team, you know, really the only big player that FAU had was Golden down low, and he wasn't a thick-built guy. He had a pretty wiry frame for someone who's listed at 7'1", and Memphis was just settling for three-point shots, which hasn't been their MO all year. So they just didn't look comfortable, they didn't look like themselves, and they didn't play well.
Yeah, and the biggest – I mean, it's so brutal to see DeAndre Williams and Kendrick Davis – after what they did in the AAC tournament, down the stretch in AAC play in general, it's so brutal to see them when the lights got bright in that big moment in the NCAA tournament. It all sort of unraveled for both of them in a lot of ways. I think DeAndre did some good things down the stretch, some putbacks, and one to put the Tigers up by one. But both those guys, I mean, if you would have told me that they were not going, both of them were not going to play well, I would have told you were full of it. I absolutely would have told you were full of it. They have been phenomenal. They've been able to be leaned on the entire year. And then I think the other part of this thing is Kendrick Davis, for the most part, yeah, he can be fiery. Yeah, he can get after people. And he's a vocal leader in a lot of ways. But to see him lose his cool on Malcolm Dandridge in that huddle was a little jarring.
It was extremely jarring. I mean, at that point in the game, I think there was around 4 minutes left. It was a tight game. Memphis had just kind of lost the advantage that they had. They were up by 7 with 9 minutes left, and FAU had constantly been working on pulling that lead down. And then when that happened in the huddle, I was just kind of looking around, and to the people that were around me, I was like, that's it. I don't know how you can come back from that. Mm-hmm. With 4 minutes left in the biggest game, a team that's clearly game to be here and going to fight until the end. If there are some rocky waters right now, this is not the time, and it's extremely unfortunate because we didn't see this happen all year. There was no drama with this team this year. It was drama free, nothing happening on the sidelines like that. And then in the biggest game and the biggest moment down the stretch, in a time where everyone should be locked in on the same page, it just didn't happen that way. They kind of came apart right there, and it was a very unfortunate timing.
Yeah, No question. Talking with Christian Fowler from Bluff City Media, at C Fowler BCM on Twitter. Now, you wrote an article about what will this offseason look like. I mean, you're going to have some freshmen with some pretty high expectations coming in. Mikey Williams, J.J. Taylor, Ashton Hardaway, Tyler Johnson, potentially. He's got to end up signing eventually. We'll see what happens with that. But when we talk about this offseason and what Penny Hardaway needs to get done, what guys he can sort of have holdovers with and who can come back of this senior class, what do you think this offseason looks like?
It's going to be different, right? And we kind of saw the platoon swap last year for the most part with a lot of different guys coming in. We know there's a lot of freshmen coming in. As you mentioned, five signed, two committed. We'll see what happens with David Tubek and Tyler Johnson heading into the summer, into the off-season program. But as of right now, if you just look at it for what it is, you got at least five freshmen coming in, and you have, what, five guys, I believe, that can return? Keontae Kennedy, Malcolm Dandridge, Jaden Hardaway, and the Walsons are your five guys that still have eligibility. So that leaves the door open for multiple transfers, right? I mean, we'll probably see 3 to 4 transfers. That's just an educated guess right now, but 3 to 4 transfers, and obviously that depends on who comes back. If the Lawsons come back, Keontae, Jaden, and Malcolm, then you've got 10 if your two signees don't come in. So there's going to be a lot of different faces regardless. Even if those five guys, all five of them return, then you're still looking at, what, 7, 8, 9 new faces, something around that. So there's going to be a lot of roster turnover. And to me, what will also be extremely interesting is just thinking back quickly off the top of my head, I can't remember an offseason where there wasn't at least some staff changes for Penny. But honestly, with this staff, I really enjoyed watching what this staff did this year. We've talked about Frank Haith a lot. Andy Borman and Faraji Phillips was the new staff this year, and I think they did a really good job. When you look at what this team had, what the preseason expectations were, and what ultimately they end up doing, this staff deserves a lot of credit. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any staff turnover as far as direct assistant coaches. I'm not trying to speculate and say anything's going to happen, but we haven't had an off season where it hasn't happened yet. But if there was a coaching staff that I feel like Penny would keep together, it is this one, as long as anyone isn't getting outside interest in other coaching jobs.
Now, something that I have had a lot of questions about in the going into this offseason and what next year's team may look like. This year you had Kendrick Davis. You could rely on him as a point guard. Alex Lomax is another fifth-year guy who you could rely on as a point guard at times as a secondary ball handler. Next year, you're not going to have either of those guys. And you look at a guy like Mikey Williams, who plays point guard in high school. He can be a combo guard, but he's about 6'2". What do you think the immediate plan will be with a guy like that? Puma deal already, big name. How do you think Penny handles Mikey Williams when he gets on campus?
It'll be interesting to watch, but I think, honestly, the top two priorities in the offseason, in my opinion, should be getting bigs, legit bigs, and number one, getting another veteran point guard.
Yep.
The way that Kendrick and Penny worked together this year was nearly flawless, especially for, you know, a player and coach that only had one offseason to work together. Obviously, you know, Kendrick's been around and he had played a lot of college basketball, so I feel like it was easier for him to adapt and get on board and be a leader on this team. And I think Penny needs to keep that formula because it clearly worked. I mean, if you look at games this season, there's dozens of examples where, you know, Penny calls a timeout or there's a break in the action or something, and Penny and Kendrick are talking off to the side because that's his guy. That's the best player on his team. That's the guy that he trusts. And I think for Penny, being a former point guard, having that guy, that veteran point guard that he can trust is huge. It's huge for him now, and he's seen it. I know he kind of had it with Jeremiah Martin. Jeremiah Martin wasn't a true point guard, but was playing point guard in Penny's first season, and they had a lot of trust with each other. But now we got to see it with, you know, with Kendrick, who we believe was the best player in the American, and then with a much advanced and much more seasoned Penny Hardaway, and the results speak for themselves. So I think getting that veteran point guard to not only help Penny, but to help Mikey come along, because I believe we'll see him play the one and the two. But with his size, like you mentioned, at the pro level for him, it seems like point guard has to be the spot. So
yep.
I think there needs to be a veteran above him to help him kind of grow into his own, learn that position a little bit more, because he played on the ball, off the ball in high school. So someone to help him bring along not only Penny, but also just a veteran point guard who's been around.
Now, outside of the Tigers, what have your overall sentiments, thoughts, what has jumped out to you about the NCAA tournament thus far?
It's been fun. I mean, there's been a few crazy upsets. Princeton beating Arizona, Furman beating Virginia, obviously FDU beating Purdue.
Right.
So there have been some.
And by the way, you see our guy Tobin get hired today by Iona. Tobin Anderson.
Yeah, Tobin Anderson from FDU getting hired by Iona, taking Patino's spot as he moves along to, what was it, St. John's?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, St. John's for Rick Pitino. But it's been a fun tournament so far, and, you know, we talked about this last night on the podcast. I think the funnest part of the tournament's coming up. I think the Sweet 16 is the best weekend of the tournament. So it's not the most exciting necessarily because you don't have the massive upsets anymore, but just from a pure basketball perspective and a pure talent on team basis perspective, the Sweet 16 to me is the best part of the tournament. If you're just watching basketball and looking for really good basketball games, and you look at some of the matchups this weekend, UCLA Gonzaga, Houston, Miami, Tennessee, FAU, list kind of goes on, the eight games that will be played starting on Thursday. It should be a lot of fun. You know, my team that's kind of been my team for the past few weeks in Kansas State is still in there, and they've got a matchup against Tom Izzo and Michigan State. It's hard not to latch on to the K-State bandwagon with the Keontae Johnson storyline, the way Marquise Noel is playing. So it's been fun so far, man, and we still got three rounds to go.
How about Jerome Tang, too? You a Jerome Tang fan? Got to be.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the finalists for Naismith Coach of the Year, I believe. I think I saw that today.
Yeah, and he should be, because I believe K-State was at one point picked to finish last in the Big 12, and here they are. You know, they were a three seed in the tournament and a Sweet 16 team with I believe Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson were both All-Americans, correct?
Yes, they were. Correct.
Yeah. So two All-Americans, three seed in the Sweet 16. It's hard not to be a fan of him.
Yeah, and he's playing Lil Baby before the game and telling John Calipari in Kentucky that he K-State just has more dudes than them. I mean, I appreciate that type of stuff. They really do. They really do. Has Marquise Noel been the most impressive player in the tournament thus far for you?
He's up there. He's up there, man. I mean, 44 points and 23 assists in two games is absurd. You can also look at, you said his name last night, the big from UConn. I keep pronouncing his
name wrong. Sanogo. Yep.
He's been incredible. Andrew Funk obviously had the game in the first round where he went nuts. So UConn's had some big-time playmakers. But, yeah, Marquise Noel, 44 points, 23 assists in two games. That's pretty absurd.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. Talking with Christian Fowler at C. Fowler BCM from Bluff City Media. You can listen to our podcast on the Bluff Pod, wherever you get your podcasts. Now, on to some Tiger football. We do have some spring ball rolling along. Sunday was day one. Day two is today. What are you looking forward to? What are the sort of storylines that we need to watch the closest?
Yeah, I'm going to go with two right here. Number one being the offensive and defensive line. I know that makes you happy. I know that's what you're paying attention to always.
Of course.
As a former trench baby yourself.
Trench baby, okay, yeah.
To take Derek Hunter's nickname, but no, Ryan Silver and the staff, they did a really good job of bringing in talent on both the offensive and defensive line. You look at the Power 5 transfers they got on the defensive line, and JUCO transfer starting with Derek Hunter. I was at one point a top 10 JUCO guy, but I know as some Memphis fans tend to notice at times when a JUCO player or just a high school player in general commits to Memphis, usually they go down. I don't know. It just has always kind of been a common trend. At one time, Derek Hunter was a four-star. Chris Moore was a four-star, both ranked in the top 10. I think they ended between 15 and 25, whatever that is, what it is. But Derek Hunter from the JUCO ranks, Josh Ellison from Oklahoma, Jalen Joyner, not a Power 5 guy, but from FAU, productive guy
productive,
there.
Yep.
So they brought in some big bodies on the defensive line, offensive line, mainly Power 5 guys, Marcus Henderson from Arkansas, Xavier Hill from LSU, who was in the mix to be a starter in the spring of last year. Chris Moore, as previously mentioned, from JUCO, formerly of Texas A&M. So they brought in some dudes with Power 5 level experience and some dudes with high level JUCO experience that were, as I mentioned, at one point highly ranked in the top 10 of the JUCO ranks. So that's the first thing. Second thing, playmakers got to step up.
Yep.
You bring in Demir Blankumsey from Toledo, bring in Tulsky Dove from Missouri, bring in Blake Watson from Old Dominion. So they brought in all these skill position players. Who's going to step up? Who's going to take that role going down the stretch, spring, summer, and into the season? We've seen playmakers step up in the spring before at Memphis. Tony Pollard came into his own. Antonio Gibson out of JUCO in his second year from JUCO kind of came into his own in the spring. Kenny Gainwell, unheralded recruit from down here in Yazoo County, Mississippi. I made that sound like I'm in Yazoo County.
Yeah, right.
I'm just in Mississippi. but from Yazoo County, Kenny ended up stepping up in his second summer. So this is a time where guys can kind of find their own, get into their own, learn the system, get comfortable and get acclimated. So this is the time to step up and like start those initial steps to show that you can be the guy when fall comes around and the season starts.
All right, now, last thing for you, Cowboy fan. We're about to talk about it in the Blitz, but what did you think of Brandon Cooks?
I think it's a good deal. I think it's also the Cowboys admitting that they got the Amari Cooper deal wrong finally last year, trading Amari Cooper out for a fifth-round pick.
I mean, but here's the thing about that. I mean, at the moment, we told them they were wrong about that. I still don't understand it.
This feels like public admittance to it.
Yeah.
Finally, I know he had a $20 million contract. Obviously, they bring Brandon Cooks in on an $18 million deal that he was on with the Texans. The Texans eat $6 million of it, so they're paying Brandon Cooks $12 million. So I definitely like the deal. I mean, ultra productive, extremely underrated. No one talks about Brandon Cooks, but he's had 1,000 yards with four different teams. You get him for a fifth and sixth round pick, still 29 years old, was still productive in Houston with pretty terrible quarterback play. So for him to come in and be the number two behind CeeDee Lamb, I think it's a great addition. Along with the trade for Stephon Gilmore.
There you go, Cowboy fan. Do you have high hopes, or are you just bruised and battered at this point?
Oh, bruised and battered.
Yeah,
I'll always live there, man.
Yeah, I get you. Well, happy birthday to you, brother. Have a good time tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
All right, man. That's Christian Fowler, Bluff City Media. You can check out all of his work, bluffcitymedia.co, and you can find our podcast. On the Bluff Pod, wherever you find your podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.